بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Respected brothers and sisters, one of the most important things that a person should take into consideration in this life that Allah Ta'ala has given us is what is our relationship with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We have relationships in this world with friends, with family. We have connections here and connections there. We have people that can back us up here and over there. We have various connections and links and social networks. But every believer and every mu'min should see in his life how much has he networked himself with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. How much has he succeeded in this life of his to network himself and to connect himself and to link himself with his Creator. This is something which is very important. A person, he can have all the friends in this world and have all the acquaintances and the people and be connected here and there. But if he is disconnected from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he has no one. When Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is our friend in this world, then we have everyone. Even if we have no friends, except Him. And if we have all of the friends in this world, but we don't have Allah, then we have nothing. Hazrat Khwaja Aziz al-Hasan Majzub, rahmatullahi alayhi, he has one poem, he says, Jo tu mera, to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri, aur agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. He said, Oh Allah, when you are mine, then everything is mine. The heavens are mine and the earth is mine. But O Allah, when you are not mine, there is nothing in this world that belongs to me. Jo tu mera, to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri, aur agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri. Subhanallah, brothers and sisters, this is, what have we attained? If we have Allah, we have everything. And if we don't have Him, we have nothing. But the worst of it is, as some of the ulama have mentioned, that you see some people in the masajid, they're in the masjid, but don't consider them that they are in the masjid. And there are some people that are in the marketplace, but do not consider those people that they are in the marketplace. There are certain people, they're in the masajid, but their heart is elsewhere. They wish to be somewhere else. And there are people that are in the marketplace, but their heart wishes that they were in the masjid. These are the people that have a connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala looks at the heart. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at your appearances. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at your faces. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at your skin color. And Allah doesn't look at your nationality. But He looks at your intentions and He looks at your actions. We have been coming to the masjid for so long. We have been connected for so long. We have been involved in the efforts for so long. But has that effort, has that involvement connected me to Allah? This is the question we have to ask. If you have been connected, and if you are involved, and if you are in the masjid, but still you are not connected with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then there is a very great problem. You're actually not involved with Allah yet. You have not attained Allah yet. This involvement in these works, and this involvement in these efforts, how much has it been successful in connecting you to your Creator? In relation to this, I want to mention one hadith narrated by Ibn Majah, and this is a sahih hadith narrated by Thawban radiallahu anhu. Thawban radiallahu anhu mentions, he says that I have heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, he said, لَأَعْلَمَنَّ أَقْوَامًا يَأْتُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِحَسَنَاتٍ كَأَمْثَالِ الْجِبَالِ لَأَعْلَمَنَّ أَقْوَامًا يَأْتُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي يَأْتُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِحَسَنَاتٍ كَأَمْثَالِ جِبَالِ تِهَامَةَ بَيْضَاءِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he says, most definitely, I know certain groups of people from my ummah that they will come on the day of judgment and they will bring such hasanat and such good deeds in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that those deeds will equal to the Mount Tihama in size.
بحسنات يأتون يوم القيامة بحسنات كأمثال جبال تهامة بيضاء, huge white mountain of Tihama, they will come with hasanat and good deeds just like this. And he says, فَيَجْعَلُهَا اللَّهُ يعني فَيَجْعَلُهَا الْحَسَنَاتِ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn these hasanat, Allah will turn these deeds, mountains of deeds, huge mountains of deeds, Allah will turn those mountains of deeds, هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا, like particles in the air, they will fly away. Those deeds will have no value in the eyes of Allah, they will float away. Like, and what is haba'a manthura? Haba'a manthura is like the dust that you see in the rays of the sun. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu may give tafsir of this, that the turab that you see, fi shu'a'i shams, the turab that you see in the particles that you see, fi shu'a'i shams, in the rays of the sun, that is haba'a manthura. Particles floating away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make these people who will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with mountains of deeds, Allah will make their deeds floating away like particles in the air, having no value in Allah's sight. فَقَالَ ثَوْبَانَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He said, فَيَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ صِفْهُمْ لَنَا جَلِّهِمْ لَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ أَلَّا نَكُونَ مِنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَا نَعْلَمْ. O Messenger of Allah, describe them to us. Describe these people to us. Tell us who these people are, in case that we might be one of them and we do not even know. Tell us, Ya Rasulullah, who are they? He says, Ama innahum min ikhwanikum. Ama innahum min ikhwanikum wa min jildatikum ya'khuduna min al-layl kama ta'khudun. Ama innahum min ikhwanikum wa min jildatikum ya'khuduna min al-layl kama ta'khudun. He says, they will be your brothers. They will be mixing with you. They'll have the same appearance as you. MashaAllah, shar'i dari and shar'i thawb, and everything is in accordance, and they're involved and they're part of the efforts and they're part of, MashaAllah, doing the work. But they also pray tahajjud just like you pray tahajjud. They make the ibadat just like you're making ibadat. They're doing the nafli ibadat and the optional worship just like you do optional worship. So then what's the problem? ولكنهم أقوام إذا خلوا بمحارم الله انتهكوها. But they are people that when they were seen in privacy, when they had the opportunity to commit disobedience of Allah, then they did the disobedience of Allah. They would not hesitate to do the disobedience of Allah. When they got the opportunity to go on the pornographic websites on the net, they would do it without worry. And at the same time, they're involved in the efforts. And at the same time, they're being... This is what has destroyed them. إِنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ إِذَا خَلَوْا بِمَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ. When they were secret, they were having the opportunity to be secret, alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did they do? إِنْتَهَكُوهَا. When they had the opportunity to commit haram, when they had the opportunity to breach the trust of Allah ta'ala, or breach the forbidden areas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they breached it. They did not hesitate. This is the thing that the secret sins, the secret deeds, these are the things, respected brothers and sisters, that will destroy us. We should see, Ya Allah, give me that time alone. One of the people that will be under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. سَبْعَةُ يُذِلُّهُمَ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. On that day, the sun will be 1 mile away from the heads, and the people will be drowning in their sweat, literally. And the only shade will be the shade of Allah ta'ala's arsh. The only shade will be the shade of Allah's arsh. And there will be 7 groups of people that will be included, VIP, very Islamic persons, under the arsh of Allah ta'ala. Who will they be? 7 groups of people. Imamun Adil, the just ruler. وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ. And that young man that grew up in the worship of Allah. He didn't grow up in gangster and being a, you know, chasing after girls and doing this and that. نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ. He grew up worshipping and making ibadat of his Lord. وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. and that person whose heart was attached to the masjid. وَرَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. Those two people that met each other for the sake of Allah. They loved each other for the sake of Allah. They met for His sake and they separated for His sake. وَرَجُلًا تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَخْفَى حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. And that person that spent so secretly, أَخْفَى, we're talking about those sins, the secret sins, and those deeds, the secret deeds, those are the deeds that will give us position in the eyes of Allah. And those evil deeds will be the position that will bring us disgrace on that day. Look at the secret deeds. Don't be so concerned with the deeds that people will see me. Work on the secret deeds. Work on your secret relationship with Allah. What is your link with Him? What is your ta'alluq with Him? What is our ta'alluq ma'Allah? How have we built our connection with Allah? Or we have nothing. How many years has it been that I have been involved, but still I have no ta'alluq with my Allah? Still I have no deeds which I am hiding from the people that I hope for on the Day of Judgment. وَرَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَخْفَى حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمَ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. He spends so secretly that not even the left hand knows what the right hand has spent, let alone anyone else. وَرَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُ إِمْرَأَةُ ذَاتُ مَنْصَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. And that young man or woman, or that old man or woman, that was invited to commit illicit sexual intercourse by someone of status and by somebody of handsomeness and beauty, and he says, I fear Allah. وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ. And that person who remembered Allah in solitude, not openly. Everybody can make dhikr of Allah openly. Everybody can come and act very pious openly. It is the secret ta'alluq that you have with Allah. Forget evil deeds. We don't even have the good deeds to say that, Ya Allah, I have done this secret deed, this good deed. It is just between me and you. No makhluq knows about it other than me and you. Look at the example of Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Look at Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. What was his maqam? Amir al-Mu'mineen, and his status. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and look at his status. Khulafa of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These were our examples. These were our qudwa. They were our leaders. And they were the ones that left the example for us. They were our salaf. They were our pious predecessors. They have left an example for us. What deeds did they have? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab said, I would always notice for a very long time that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, immediately after he would pray the Fajr Salat, he would get up and leave. Immediately. I was wondering, where is he going? What is he doing at this time, in this darkness? Where is he going at this time? One day I said, I'm going to follow him. Don't forget the subject we're talking about, the secret deeds. The secret deeds, whether sins or good deeds. So he said, one day I decided to follow him. So I followed Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and I followed him in such a way that he doesn't know that I'm following him, in the dark. And I seen him going to the outskirts of Madinah Munawwara. And I saw that there was a tent there. And near that tent, he enters and he's doing things and going inside and coming out and going in and coming out and going in and coming out. And I'm wondering, what is he doing? And until Ishraq time and until the sun was risen well and clear, that the day was nice and clear and the sun was bright and hot, after that he was done, he would go away and he would return back. After he left, I went inside. Umar ibn Khattab is saying, I went to investigate. What is this? Who is in this tent? What are these children around? What is the situation? What is the circumstances here? So Umar ibn Khattab, when he took ijazah, he said, Assalamu alaikum. Say, Wa alaikum salam. Who is there? He saw that a very old, ajuz, blind woman was sitting there. Incapable. She was not even able to move. With great difficulty she was moving. Very old. And she was totally blind. And she could not see. And she had all these children around her. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu sallama alayha, he said salam to her and he found out about the situation. He says, Oh mother, What is your story? What's your condition? He said, who are you? He said, I'm a Muslim from amongst the Muslims. He mentioned, he said, I'm Umar ibn Khattab. He says, what is your situation?
So she said that my husband passed away long time ago and I have no one to look after me. Who are these children? He said, these children are my grandchildren and my own children. He said, who is that man that comes? Listen to this. Umar ibn al-Khattab asked this woman, who is that man that comes? Do you know what is his name? She said, I don't know who he is. He said, Umar ibn al-Khattab asked, what is his story? He said, he comes every day. Every single day he comes at the same time. He said, what does he do? He said, he washes our clothes with his own hands. He crushes the wheat and he bakes the bread and he feeds my children and he looks after them and whatever other necessities we need, he looks after it. He said, do you know who he is? He always says that, she said, do you know who he is? He said, he always says that I am a Muslim from amongst the Muslims. I am a Muslim from amongst the Muslims. Umar ibn al-Khattab, when he heard the story, he left the tent of that woman, shedding tears and crying like a baby. And he said, this is the maqam of Abu Bakr Siddiq, which I could never attain. This is the maqam that he has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, this is that thing that I am asking myself and I am asking you that we need to attain. The secret deeds. Those deeds that is between us and Allah that no one else knows. Not even the individuals that we are doing that khair for, they know that what we are doing for them. Not even they are aware. And Allah Ta'ala has mentioned about the maqam of these people. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. What did they say? إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. Who are the people of Allah? Who are the people of Jannah? Allah Ta'ala mentions. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ. They are the ones that they feed others. عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. Because of their love for Allah. Not because of any other reason. عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. عَلَىٰ حُبِّ اللَّهِ. For no other reason. Except only so that Allah will become pleased. Except only for the reason that they will have something. Just iraz. Iraz ho. Aapke aur Allah ki darmiyan. It's a secret between you and your beloved. Hum tum hai bas aga hai is rabte khafi se. Only me and you, oh Allah, we are aware of this secret. No one else knows about this secret. This is something between me and my beloved. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. What do they say? We only feed you for the sake of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We don't want any recompense and we don't want any thanks from you. We don't want any compensation, nor do we want thanks. But what is our example? Bhai, he didn't even tell me thank you. I invited him to my house and I gave him dawat and I did this for him and I did that for him. He didn't even say thank you. He did not even say jazakallah. So he didn't say it. So what? He didn't say it. Work on your ikhlas. Work on your sincerity. Maybe he's making your islah nafs. We shouldn't be doing that. Man lam yashkur innas lam yashkur illah. The one who does not thank the people, he has not thanked Allah, because Allah Ta'ala makes certain people sabab. Allah makes certain people asbab and a means. Thanking the means is thanking Allah because Allah made him the means. This is adab with Allah. This is actually an adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the people of Allah, their example is what? Is they have a connection. Nobody knows. May Allah give us these deeds. May Allah give us such secret deeds that nobody knows about. Astaghfirullah. Instead of having those deeds, we have the evil deeds on our account. That whenever we have the opportunity to commit any wrong, as is mentioned by the hadith by Rasulullah SAW, he says, إِنَّهُمْ أَقْوَامٌ إِذَا خَلَوْا بِمَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ إِنْتَهَكُهَا. May Allah Ta'ala not make us amongst them. Because what are we? In actuality, we are hypocrites. We are deceivers if we are like that. Myself included. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi, Hakimul Ummat, Mujaddidul Millat, Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to say, he said, whenever I see weakness in my amal, I give a bayan about it. That doesn't mean that amal is inside of me. I'm sitting above you here, and I'm giving you a lecture. That doesn't mean I have ikhlas, and I'm telling you, you have ikhlas, you have these secret deeds. I need it myself. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah, what a beautiful example he gave, and what a beautiful ilaj he has given us. That he says, whenever you see any weakness, O ulama-i kiram, that are sitting here, and oh du'at and the da'is that are sitting here, whenever you see any weakness in yourself, any weakness in any amal that you are doing, give da'wat of that amal. give da'wat of that amal, so that the sifat of that amal may come inside of you. Why? Shame will come. Haya will come. That how am I speaking about this and I don't have it in my own life? How can I speak about this and I don't have it in my own life? Hakimul Ummat rahmatullah alayhi said this. This is the best ilaj for when you feel susti and weakness in an action. Allah Ta'ala will inshallah give you tawfiq to do that. That's how I manage my bayans. Somebody asked me, how do you manage your bayans? I said, whatever I feel weak in doing, then I give bayan about that. And alhamdulillah, it benefits everybody else, because what does Allah Ta'ala say? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Whose word can be better than the one who calls to Allah? أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا And he does good deeds. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ I am but from amongst the Muslims. I am nobody else. Then the same sicknesses that I have in myself, the ummah will have. So we have to find those things within us. Find those secret deeds. Find that ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only way that we can build ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is if we practice doing good deeds in secret. This is how you build the ta'alluq with Allah. When nobody is watching you. This is why salat al-tahajjud is so beloved in the eyes of Allah. Because it's the secret deed. It's a deed that's kept secret. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أَفْضَلُ صَلَاتِ الْمَرْءِ صَلَاتُهُ فِي بَيْتِهِ إِلَّا الْمَكْتُوبَ أَفْضَلُ صَلَاتِ الْمَرْءِ صَلَاتُهُ فِي بَيْتِهِ إِلَّا الْمَكْتُوبَ The best salat of an individual is the salat in his home. إِلَّا الْمَكْتُوبَ Except the fard salah. And that's why we know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray his sunan at home. He used to pray his nawafil at home. Why is that? It builds that ikhlas. It builds that sincerity. It builds your relationship and your ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is watching me. Allah is seeing me. I am waking up and I am praying and I am making wudu with this cold water when nobody is watching me and nobody is seeing me. That is why the ajr of lowering the gaze. That's why the ajr of lowering the gaze. What is the ajr of lowering the gaze? Does anybody know? It comes in one hadith. Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi narrates this in his tafsir. Under the tafsir of the ayat, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينِ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ My Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, he mentions that in this day and age, if anybody wants to become a wali of Allah, he said, do four things. دو ظاهري عمل, دو باطني عمل. دو ظاهري عمل کیا ہے؟ کہ سنت کو زندہ کرو. Two ظاهري عمل, two باطني عمل. Anybody that does four actions in this day and age, inshallah, he's a guaranteed wali. Inshallah, all the other deeds will become very easy for him. Two external actions, leaving a beard equal to one fist in knee. Growing your beard in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why was a person become a wali by growing a beard? What's in a beard? It's not the beard. But it's the ittiba of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala mentions that, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ That if you truly love Allah, then obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah will love you. Everybody wants Allah to love him. This is one of the ways. That lengthening our beards. Following the sunnah. In this day and age, I guarantee you that the growing of the beard is double ajr now. Triple ajr. Especially when you become a selectee. Especially when you're going to the airports and then because of your beard, you become selected. The same way, why are you selected by them? Because Allah has selected you, that's why. You're becoming selected by them because in actuality, Allah has selected you. إِنَّ الدِّينَ بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ فَتُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَاءِ This deen, it began as something unusual, and it will end up as something unusual. So glad tidings to the weird people. Glad tidings to the unusual people. And keeping the trousers above the ankles, not letting the trousers drag on the ground. This is such a disease that Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned in one hadith of Sahih Muslim. That there will be people on the Day of Judgment, that إِنَّ اللَّهُ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ Three people on the Day of Judgment, Allah will not speak to them. Allah will not purify them. Allah will not glance at them with a glance of mercy. And they will have a severe punishment. Who is it? الْمُسْبِلُ وَالْمَنَّانِ وَالْمُنْفِقْ سِلْعَتَهُ بِالْحَلَفِ الْكَاذِبِ Three groups of people. Allah Ta'ala will not look at them. Allah will not speak to them. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will not purify them of their sins. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ
وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ One tashreed that my Shaykh Hafidhullah gave, وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ Allah will not grant them the tawfiq to make tazkiyah of their nafs in this life. وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ Why? He's mutakabbir. Who is it? Al-musbilu وَالْمَنَّانُ وَالْمُنْفِقْ سِلَعَتَهُ بِالْحَلَفِ الْكَاذِبِ Al-musbil, the one who drags his trousers or his garment below the ankle. The one who drags his trousers below the ankles. And he says, brother, what's in kapde mein kya hota hai? Itne kapda jo takhno se niche jata hai, to usme kya hota hai? What happens if a two-piece of cloth goes below your ankle? What happens is, it's the kibir in that. It's to obey Rasulullah s.a.w.'s command in whatever it may be. Some person asked me, he said, Hazrat, Maulana, I cannot understand. What is this? Why do we have to keep the trousers above the ankles? I said, look, don't look for a wisdom and a hikmat and an illat in everything that the Messenger of Allah s.a.w. said. This is another disease of this time, that we try to look for a hikmat and an illat and a reason and a wisdom behind everything that he said. Maybe you will not understand what is the reason. Maybe you will not understand what is that illat. One of the great, great mashayikh, Allama Baqillani, rahmatullah alayh, very great scholar, he mentioned that there's three ways that you come to understand something. There is three ways that we can understand a mas'ala, that we come to understand some point. Three ways of attaining information. Three sources of gaining ilm. Three sources of gaining ilm. Allama Baqillani rahmatullahi mentioned this. He said number one is through a hawasi khamsa. One source of knowledge is through the five senses. That if I want to know this water, is it cold or is it hot? What will I do? Through the five senses, I can feel it. I can taste it, touch it, smell it, see it. This is the five senses. Hawasi khamsa. This is one way and one source of knowledge. Certain things you cannot understand through hawasi khamsa, five senses. Certain things you cannot understand through the hawasi khamsa. For example, I tell you, what's 2 plus 2? You're not going to, just a minute, let me smell it for one moment. It's 4. You do not come to understand that through smelling or five senses. That is the aql. Those things that cannot be understood through the five senses, you will understand it through aql. And what if there's something that you cannot understand through hawasi khamsa, and you cannot understand it through aql? Then what is that? Then there's the maqam and there's the source of wahi. Revelation. Revelation comes in and explains those things which neither the aql can comprehend and nor the five senses can grasp. So there are many things in the sunnah. Brothers and sisters, we are ahlu sunnah wal jama'ah. We are not mu'tazili, and we are not jabari, and we are not qadari, and we're not all of those other groups that we study about in Dora Hadith. We're none of those. The mu'tazila, who are they? They were a group of people that when aql and naql would be face to face, there would be ta'aruf, there would be a contradiction between aql and naql, meaning through intellect or through transmission. For example, hadith has come to us through transmission. And aql is something that we understand through our intellect. So according to the mu'tazila, if they hear a hadith and it's not in accordance with the aql, they will reject that hadith. This is the usul of the Mu'tazila, who were a deviant firqa. They were a deviant group. They were a deviant sect in this ummah. And Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, and the muhaddithin and the salafi salihin, they completely made rebuttal of them, that none of them exist today. They don't exist in name, but they exist in people. There are many now Mu'tazilis, naam se nahi, fikr se. Many intelligent people, they made themselves very intelligent. Where they will reject the hadith based on the reason that it doesn't correspond to their intellect. This is the same thing, and this is the same action and the same temperament of the people that were Mu'tazili. Whenever something that was contradicting, if a hadith would come, the hadith would be sahih. The hadith would be authentic, but it would not be in accordance with their intellect, they would reject it. There are people like that today also. Oh, how can this be? And one of the hadith that they rejected, كلمتان خفيفتان على اللسان ثقيلتان في الميزان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن سبحان الله بحمده سبحان الله العظيم. We know that this last hadith of Bukhari Sharif, we've heard the taqreer of 1,000 times. This last hadith of Bukhari Sharif, what is the whole purpose that Imam Bukhari has brought this hadith? To prove that the deeds will be weighed. وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَ أَيْذٍ لَحَقٍ The hadith comes that on the day of judgment, the deeds will be weighed.
Subhanallah will be brought and put on the weight. Salat will be brought and put on the scale. Sawm will be brought and put on the scale. So what will happen is that these deeds are going to be weighed. The Mu'tazila said, no, unacceptable. We don't accept this hadith. We reject this hadith. Why do we reject the hadith? Because it doesn't make sense to our aql. How can a deed be weighed? Subhanallah, I said it, it's gone, it's over. You said it, it's gone, it's done, it's over. How can you weigh that? So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi brought this hadith. He said, put your aql to the side. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, he says, kalimatani habibatani ila ar-Rahman, thaqilatani fil mizan. There's two words that they are very beloved to Rahman and they are very heavy on the scales. Did he say heavy or no? Heavy means it will be weighed. Heavy means it's going to have weight. This is how Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi made radd of them. And now today we see how actually bi'aql they were. Because now we see that even the sugar levels in a person's blood can be weighed and measured. Even the alcohol in the breath of somebody can be measured. Even the cholesterol in a person's blood can be measured. And even the certain levels of voice or certain things in a person's voice can be measured. And even the eye of a person, how weak a person's eye is, can be measured. If these things can be measured, now in this day and age, we understand that how bi'aql they really were. Because what are you trying to do? You are trying to weigh the shariat and you are trying to weigh the ilm al-wahi with your deficient intellect. That can never happen. It's like trying to weigh logs on a scale that is made to weigh gold and silver. You know, gold and silver, it's a very delicate scale. And you just put little pieces there. And now a person takes a big log and he puts it there and I'm going to weigh this. It's going to crush it. And this is exactly what we're trying to do. The scale of our brain cannot tolerate the weight of wahi. This wahi is so heavy that when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi on a very severely cold day, he would get wahi. Aisha radiallahu anha used to say that he would perspire and his forehead would bead and he would perspire severely on a very cold day. This was the weight. That if he was on a camel, the camel would completely sit. It could not walk and it could not stand due to the weight of the wahi. Ali radiallahu anhu said that Nabi Sassam was laying on my thigh and wahi came down to him. He said it felt that my thigh is going to break apart. This is the thiqil of the wahi. This is the heaviness of wahi. So if a certain sunnah has been mentioned that we should do this, we should keep our trousers above the ankles, or we should grow our beards, or we should do this, don't try to now, you know, drive your intellect and try to understand this and that was for this time, and at that time they didn't have razors. They didn't have razors in those times. Or they didn't have this at that time. They didn't have that at this time. Don't use your intellect in this, but make taslim. And that is why I've mentioned that about the people. Ittiba. What is ittiba? It's following without asking questions. So these are two external actions and then two internal actions. That's what I was mentioning. My Shaykh Hafidhullah has mentioned, what are the two internal actions? Guarding the eyes and guarding the heart. Guarding the eyes is an internal action. Why? Because if I'm wearing dark glasses, dark chashmeh, and I'm sitting there in front of you and I'm looking at somebody on this side, I'm checking somebody out, nobody would know. I'm looking for somebody from the corner of my eye. Nobody would know about that. This is why it's the secret sin. It's a destructive sin. It's the sin which destroys the heart. It is that sin which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. Inna sahm, inna nadhara sahmun min sihami iblis masmum. Inna nadhara sahmun min sihami iblis masmum. Man tarakahu makhafati abdaltuhu imanan yajidu halawatahu fi qalbihi. He says, this evil gazes, looking at pornography, looking at the opposite sex, or looking at the same sex with lust or with the evil intention. This is such a sin, it is one of the poisonous arrows from the arrows of shaitan. And why did Rasulullah subhanallah, look at the hikmah and look at the wisdom behind the words of Rasulullah. He said it's not just an arrow, it's a poisonous arrow from the arrows of shaitan. Why? Because a regular arrow, if you shoot somebody, he gets hit, he takes it out, he'll be better. He'll get better after a while. But a poisonous arrow, even if it nicks you, now that poison has gone in your blood and it's going to do its job later. This is the evil of the evil glances.
is that what does this do? This penetrates inside of the heart, and this slowly, slowly then starts ruining the iman and destroying the iman. After doing bad nazri, a person cannot even enjoy reading Quran. After doing bad nazri, a person will see those dirty pictures in sajda. After doing bad nazri, even the thoughts of that will come inside of his namaz. This is how evil this sin is. And why is it that Allah Ta'ala then mentions, it's a hadith al-Qudsi, مَنْ تَرَكَهُ مَخَافَتِي, the one who guards his eyes and leaves this sin for my sake, out of fear of me, not out of fear of, oh, my ustad here is here, my peer sahab is here, or my wife is watching me, my wife is seeing me. This is another disease of evil gazes. Talaq has become rampant. Talaq has become widespread in the ummah. Talaq has become widespread in our communities. What is it? Many women they call. Hazawala Adam Barakatum always says that the women are calling us and saying that my husband comes home, says, you don't even look attractive to me anymore. You're not even beautiful to me anymore. And he goes to sleep and he turns his face away from me. Why does he not appreciate his wife anymore? What is the reason? When he's looking at all the beautiful girls and all the beautiful sisters in college and in university and in office and in daftar and in the magazines and on the internet, why would his wife look beautiful to him anymore? Why would the husband be attractive anymore when she's talking to everybody at work and at school and all these places and enjoying? Why would it be that you should appreciate? We have lost the appreciation for our spouses because of this evil sin. One example my sheikh gave is like you're invited to biryani at somebody's house to eat food. You're invited for a dawat at somebody's house. And what do? You stop at the 7-Eleven, you get some chips, you get some juice. And you're having, and then you go to have some biryani. He said, no, brother, I'm not hungry. Jazakallah khair. What happened? Why? This is not good food. He said, no, it's very delicious food. Bahut mazadar hai. It's excellent. But, I just had a little bit of a snack. Same thing is happening to us at home. We can have the most attractive and most beautiful and most humble and most pious wife. That wife will not be attractive to us anymore. Why? Because we're snacking outside. You're snacking so much outside, you're losing the appreciation of your wife in the house. This is the disease. مَنْ تَرَكَهُ مَخَافَتِي. So you're not doing it just because, and when the wife is there, you probably might not do it. But some people are so bihaya, so bisharam, that their wife will be there and they'll still do it. He's so immodest, so shameless, that his wife is there and he'll still be looking. This is how evil this sin is. It destroyed lives of people. Destroyed lifelong marriages of people. Why? This bad nazari. I have told people, in Fremont when I gave this lecture, I told them, I said, I just want you to do one thing. For 3 days, don't do any bad nazri. I won't go for 1 week. I won't say chilla. Don't do a chilla. Just a little bit too much. Start with 3 days. I won't start with a chilla. I said, start with 3 days. Don't do any bad nazri. Jaan bhi nikal jaye. My husband, Wadah Barakat, mentioned, even if you think you're going to die, I'm going to die if I don't look. He said, Jaan bhi nikal jaye, but say, I'm not going to look. Azam karo. Make a firm intention, I am not going to look. Do it for 3 days and you will see the innocence and you will see the nur and you will see the barakah come back to your heart. You will see the appreciation and the love that will come in the household. Every day will be Valentine's Day. Every day. Muslims don't need. Why don't we have? Because we're supposed to have it every day. We have it every day. We have the love every day for those people that guard their eyes. Wallahi, try this. Somebody came to me. He said, Shaykh, he's not a person who comes to the masjid often. He was not a person who comes to the masjid often. He said, Shaykh, I was at one bayan of yours. I really benefit. I said, which one is that? He said, the one you say, guard your eyes for 3 days. He said, subhanAllah. Me and my wife, we're like Sheer and Shakar now. We're Sheer and Shakar now. Milk and sugar. You know? Milk and sugar, you mix it together. He said, this is how we are now. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. We should try it. See the innocence. Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah, he mentioned such a beautiful poem. Why the heart has become dark is because the gateways to the heart are becoming left open. And when the gateways of the house and the doors of the house are left open, all the gandagi and the dogs and the cats and the animals and the things are going inside of the house. Maulana says, he says, Chishim bandu, gosh bandu, labban, garnabini, nuri haqbar man bikhan. He says, look at what a beautiful advice Hazrat Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi gives. My sheikh says, bahut pyara aadmi tha. Bahut pyare aadmi tha. He says, chishm bando, gosh bando, lab band. Close your eyes from evil. And close your ears from evil. And close your tongue from evil. Dar nabini nuri haqbar man bikhand. If you don't see the nur of Allah in your heart, then laugh at me. To mujh par haso.
If you don't see the nur of Allah in your heart, then laugh at it. Why is it that we're making tilawat, but we don't feel the nur of this? Why is it that we're making ibadat, but we don't get the nur of this? Why are we doing the amal of the awliya, but we're not becoming awliya? It's because the doors are open, so the nur is coming out. Hazrat Mawlana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib, my Shaykh, the Khalifa of Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullah alayh, he said that we were in Jeddah. And we were sitting in the car and it was sakht garmi, and the windows were down. They had the AC full blast. So Hazrat Mawlana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib is looking. He said, why is the AC not working? It's so hot. What's happening? He said, oh, Hazrat, the windows are down. He said, put the windows up. And the AC was full blast. He said, as soon as they put the windows up, what happened? Oh, the whole car became cool again. The whole car became freezing cold. So Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib, what did he mention? He said, this is the example of sins. He says, the AC of our amal is chalu, 24/7. Amal karte ro, zikr, tilawat, ibadat, chilla. All the efforts that we're doing, it's 24/7. The AC of amal is on. But what happens? The window of guna is down. The AC of amal is on and the window of guna is down, and now our heart is not being filled up with nur. The coolness of Allah's muhabbat we're not getting. The sweetness of the ishq of Allah is not coming inside of our heart. That is why Nabi Kareem s.a.w. mentioned the hadith Qudsi, مَنْ تَرَكَهُ مَخَافَتِي أَبْدَلْتُهُ إِيمَانًا يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ يَجِدُ وَجَدَ يَجِدُ. My Shaykh says, وہ واجد ہوگا. یہ خیالی چیز نہیں ہے. He will be finder of that. He will attain it. It's not a khiali thing that he will sense it. He will not sense it. It will be a reality inside of him. He will taste the sweetness of iman. Why will he taste the sweetness of iman? Ibn Qayyim Jawziyah rahmatullahi mentioned in his book, Ad-dawa'u shafi liman sa'ala. No. Al-jawabul kafi liman sa'ala an ad-dawa'u shafi. Very beautiful book. The ulama kiram and those people that know Arabic, this is a must read for them. The whole kitab is about what? It's about the harms of sins. The whole kitab is about the harms of sins. And those people that don't know Arabic, they should read the book Jazawul Amal by Hakimul Ummat. This has been translated in English. This is also mentioning the harm of sins. Jazawul Amal, the reward of deeds by Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. So in that, Ibn Qayyim Jawziyah rahmatullahi mentions, why does a person get the sweetness of iman when he guards his eyes? Ibn Qayyim Jawziyah rahmatullahi mentions, why does a person get the halawati iman when he guards his eyes? Because of the bitterness that you feel when you're guarding your eyes. In lieu of that bitterness, Allah gives you sweetness in the heart. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those people that make mujahada, Allah opens the doors of hidayat for them. That bitterness that you feel. Many friends of ours, mashallah, they have islahi taluk and they're trying to rectify themselves. He called one of my students and said, you know bro, I have this extreme desire to drink alcohol. I have this extreme desire to just drink and be in that bad company. So my friend, my student told him, he said, have patience, guard yourself, don't go. However much it hurts, you know, fight your nafs, fight the desire. And he said, but it hurts. Look at his statement. He said, but it hurts, it pains, it's very bitter. So subhanAllah, my Shaykh said, he said, however much bitterness and however much mujahada and however much pain you are going through, that is the amount of nur that Allah Ta'ala will give you. Equal to the amount of pain that you go through in guarding yourself from that sin, and equal to the amount of mujahada that you go through in guarding yourself from that sin, Allah will give you equal to the amount of nur inside of your heart. Certain people, badnazari is not their sin. Right? Something else is their sin. You have to find what is that thing which is taking you away from Allah Ta'ala. Find it. See it. What is becoming a barrier between you and Allah? And guard yourself from it. The more you suffer and the more you guard yourself, the more nur will be generated inside of your heart. The more you guard yourself, the more nur will be generated inside of your heart. He says, for example, he said a person, if we were to give an estimation, he said a person feels 1 kilo of nur. He feels 1 pound of pain. 1 pound. If you were to weigh it, it's like 100 pounds of pain when he's guarding his eyes. Allah Ta'ala will give him 100 pounds of nur inside of his heart. And some people say, it feels like I'm dying. It feels like I'm dying. Then Hazrat Wa'adam Barakatuh mentioned, he said that the example of these people, Allah Ta'ala is giving them the reward of a shaheed. And Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah also mentioned one shayr. He said, Ey basa zinda,
shahide mu'tabar. How many people that we see, they are living. They are living shuhada. Every minute they are dying for the sake of Allah. Aybasa zinda shahide mu'tabar. How many people we see, they are living, but they are living shaheed. Every minute they are dying for the sake of Allah. Somebody asked me, where's the proof for this from Quran and Hadith? So I said, I'll give you proof from Quran and Hadith. مَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِسُنَّتِي عِنَّ فَسَادِ أُمَّتِي فَلَهُ أَجْرُ مِئَةِ شَهِيدِ. Anyone who holds on, this is Sahih Hadith, anyone who holds on to my sunnah at the time of fitna and fasad, Allah will give him the reward of 100 shaheed. What's the reason why Allah gives him the reward of 100 shaheed? Because he's not dying. Every minute he's going through takleef for the sake of Rasulullah, for the sake of implementing the sunnah. The one who revives one sunnah at the time of fitna and fasad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the reward of that one shaheed, not two shaheed. Gives him the reward of 100 shuhada. Why? It's because of the takleef, because of shaheed, 1 minute, that's it. He doesn't even feel any pain. It's 1 moment and he's gone. 1 strike of a sword and he's gone. 1 bullet comes and he's gone. But the person who is reviving a sunnah, every minute people are making mazak of him. Every minute that person is joking about him. Every minute he is afraid that he's going to be discriminated. He's going to the airport and he's being stopped. He's going to the store and people are not treating him properly. Why? Because of the sunnah. Every single minute he is going to takleef, that means Allah Ta'ala is giving him the ajr of the shaheed. Every second, not one shaheed, 100 shaheeds. So that person who goes to takleef for the sake of Allah, this is the thing. Hazrat Adam Barakatuh mentioned, he said, Jo Allah Ta'ala ke raaste ka gham nahi uthayega, wo Allah Ta'ala ka dost nahi ban sakta. Jo Allah Ta'ala ke raaste ka gham nahi uthayega, wo Allah ka dost nahi ban jayega. The one who does not tolerate the pain of the path of Allah, he will never become the friend of Allah. He will never become Allah's friend. Because of the difficulty you go through, you're tolerating. You said, I will tolerate every single difficulty that is expected of me in the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we shouldn't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the pain. Don't be afraid of the hardship. Don't be afraid of fighting your nafs. Lomni mat bano, sher bano. Become the lion in fighting your nafs. So this one amal that we do, secret, like we were talking about, the secret sins, two external actions, following the sunnah externally, adopting those sunnahs that are dying out in this day and age, Allah Ta'ala will give us the reward of 100 shuhada. And guarding the eyes. What will we get when we guard the eyes? Halawat iman. وَقَدْ وَرَدَ مُنَّ عَلِي خَارِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ مُحَدِّثِ عَزِيمٍ مُنَّ عَلِي خَارِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ says, وَقَدْ وَرَدَ أَنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ إِذَا دَخَلَتْ قَلْبًا لَا تَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ أَبَدًا. وَقَدْ وَرَدَ أن حلاوة الإيمان إذا دخلت قلبا لا تخرج منه أبدا وفيه إشارة إلى بشارة حسن الخاتمة. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullahi said, he said that what is the sweetness of Iman? This is not a small ni'mat. That when you guard your eyes, Allah gives you the sweetness of Iman. What is the sweetness of Iman? It's not a small thing. وَقَدْ وَرَدَ Mullah Ali Qari is saying, أن حلاوة الإيمان. It has been mentioned that the sweetness of faith, once it enters the heart, it will never come out of the heart. وَفِيهِ إِشَارَةٌ إِلَى بَشَارَةِ حُسْنِ الْخَاتِمَةِ. In it is an ishara. In this is an indication that you will die upon iman. Mu'tanwi rahmatullahi said, he said, there is no bounty greater than death upon iman. Why? Because a person can spend his life in any way. Sufi sahab, Hafiz sahab, Mulwi sahab, Sheikh sahab, Mufti sahab, whatever. But at the last, إِنَّمَا الْعِبْرَةُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. It is that last moment that matters. How you leave this world. That's why the husn khatima is the most important thing, more than anything else. That's why Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah used to say, "Hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe." Hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. In this life you live, however you live, Mauli sahab, Mufti sahab, I'm sitting giving bayans in front of you, mashallah, very good lecture, praise and nice, getting good treatment and this and that. On that day we will know who is accepted and who is not accepted. On that day, it'll be known. There was one Hafiz Sahab in South Africa, very great Hafiz Sahab. Many people had become Hafiz through him. Thousands of people. He was actually one of the first people that came and he established a madrasa in South Africa. So my Shaykh, Damat Barakatum, asked him, he said, Hafiz Sahab, how many students do you have? How many students do you have? He said, Qiyamat ki din pata chalega, how many students I have. Only on the day of judgment will it be known how many students I really have. In this world I have many.
1,000, 2,000, but which one of those students I taught with sincerity? Which one of those students will be accepted? I don't know. SubhanAllah. So that halawati iman, once it enters the heart, it guarantees us death upon iman. That is why guarding of the eyes. People say, but it's so difficult in college and this and that and going out and that. Know that every minute you are getting halawati imani. Every second and every minute, this is the opportunity for you to guard yourself and get halawati imani, which guarantees you death upon iman. And the second thing is, some people might guard their eyes, but they make their heart what? Gande gande khiyalat. Gande khiyalat pakate hai. They fantasize about evil thoughts. Or they fantasize about their old sins. Or they fantasize about their old actions. Remember one, subhanAllah, one poem of Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Madzub rahmatullah alayhi. He said, Khuda ka agar paye ishqe butan nahi hota. He says, that guard your eyes from these haseen and from these beautiful appearances, O Majzu. Guard your eyes from these beautiful appearances, O Majzu. Khuda ka ghar pe ishq-e buta nahi hota. He said, the house of Allah, this is the house where, this is the place where the nur of Allah enters. Then where the nur of Allah enters, this is not the place where you should bring these idols and these evil thoughts and these pornographic images inside of your heart. How can Allah enter that heart? Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi mentions in Ihya Ulumuddin, he mentions that an angel does not enter a house in which there is a picture or a dog. Everybody heard the hadith of Bukhari Sharif? La tadkhulu al-mala'ikatu baytan fihi kalbun aw tasawir. That the angels do not enter that house in which there is a dog or there is pictures. He said, so if the angel does not enter that house in which there is dog or there is picture, how will Allah enter that heart in which there are the dogs of nafs and pictures of evil thoughts? How will Allah Ta'ala enter that heart? When angel doesn't enter the house in which there is dogs and pictures, how will Allah enter that heart in which there is shameless thoughts, evil fantasies, and evil sentiments towards other people, bulls and adawat and kina and hasad and jealousy and anger and all of these diseases that we should purify our hearts from? So guarding the eyes and guarding the heart, these are inshallah those secret aman that we should try to adopt inside of our lives. Inshallah, if we adopt these secret actions, we'll become very, very happy on the Day of Judgment. Inshallah, we'll be VIP on the Day of Judgment. We'll be under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. Wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanakallah wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu.
InshaAllah, there is pizza downstairs. Brothers can go and have some refreshments downstairs, inshaAllah.